I do think that there's something innately in us that knows that ever since humans existed, our ancestors have been having ritual, ceremonial dances. I feel like our bodies know that this is something instinctive.
This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm a writer and a writing coach who helps women develop and publish their memoirs and essays. But most importantly, I'm a human who's always trying to figure out what my soul is saying. Each week, I'll share stories and tips of healing, hope, and following my heart so that you'll feel inspired to follow yours.
We had our retreat last weekend. Oh my goodness, it was magical. First of all, it was a beautiful fall day in the mid-60s. It was sunny. The trees were ablaze in their glorious colors. And the space that we had for the retreat was both an indoor and outdoor space. And it just had so much light and brightness, and we were able to do journaling and meditating inside on comfy chairs and a cozy rug, and all the women got shawls as a gift, so it was super cozy. And then we got to go outside onto the porch area to have snacks and lunch and coffee and treats. And it was just wonderful to be in the presence of women who were giving themselves permission to rest, to write, to be creative, to feel joy, to not have to do anything but receive. Right? That was another thing that we talked about. It was so odd for so many of the women to just sit and be served wonderful food and not have to worry about anyone or be the caretaker of the family in that moment. And I have to tell you, being a witness and just watching the women who participated, just watching them tend to themselves was glorious, really. It was wonderful to watch them tend to themselves for a change. And after every session where we would journal, I would ask the women, you know, what was that like? Or what was this like? And without a doubt, the most common comment was, wow, I haven't given myself time or space in a long time to do that, to journal or to play. We did a long yoga nidra session in the afternoon, about 45 minutes of deep rest. And if you haven't done that before, it's like meditation, lying down and getting really, really cozy in a little nest of blankets and pillows and just letting your body relax and telling it like, okay, you can rest now. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to think about anything. It's a super restorative practice. And many of the women had never done it. And afterwards, you could just see the looks on their faces because they were in such deep relaxation. They had created a sanctuary for themselves. And it was not something that they've been doing regularly. And you could see how good it felt. So I was just so happy to see the people in the group really making time and space for their own well-being, their own creativity, their own restoration. Oh, it was wonderful. Jamie did not disappoint with the food. So when the women came, he was serving coffee and tea, and then he had this yummy frittata. It was sweet potato with thyme and rosemary mixed with goat cheese baked into an egg muffin sort of frittata, and it was delish. And then for lunch, oh man, that was a joy. he took these acorn squash with this beautiful deep green and these rich yellows, and he halved them and roasted them to create like an edible bowl. And then inside, he had this yummy bison chili, and it had such amazing spices and things you wouldn't expect, like cinnamon. And when he poured that into the acorn squash bowl, it was like you had the chili, but then also the delicious acorn squash. And it was such a great fall treat. And then on the side, he had cornbread that had little bits of jalapeno for a tiny little bit of heat. And then he drizzled the top with honey. He had baked it in a cast iron skillet, so it just had a good, almost kind of smoky flavor. And then in the afternoon, after Yoga Nidra, we sat around the fire and we were doing a closing ceremony and laughing and talking. And we got to have a treat just before that. And it was pumpkin pie in a mug. Oh my goodness. So it was like this pumpkin pie filling in a mug with crumbled up crust on top, and then whipped cream, and then a graham cracker. And all of this was gluten-free and dairy-free. So he was able to make all of these things, like, for example, the pumpkin pie filling, the base rather than cream or milk was coconut milk. The whipped cream was oat milk whipped cream. I mean, he just did it all, and you wouldn't even know that it was all gluten-free and dairy-free. So it was just wonderful. And I tell you all of this not to make you jealous. If you're feeling jealous, don't worry. You can come in the summer to our upcoming retreats. We have one over Memorial Day weekend in Door County, Wisconsin. And then we have another in Camden, Maine in August. And those are multi-day retreats. So never fear. But I tell you this because I want to remind you to create some little retreat space and time for yourself, no matter where you are. So maybe it's just making a really nice meal or treat or a good mug of chai tea for yourself and savoring it. Or maybe it's setting your timer for 15 minutes and going somewhere to journal. So for example, in our backyard, Jamie one day came home with this wonderful nest seat. It's a sort of thing where it looks like a half dome and you hang it from a tree branch and you can get inside and it has cushions and pillows. So it's like you're in this cozy nook, but you're suspended in air. And while the weather has been nice this fall, I've been going in there and just setting my timer for 15 minutes to journal. Or to just be creative, I'll say to myself, okay, 15 minutes, do whatever you want, doodle, write whatever you want to, write a poem, write a scene, write a something, it doesn't matter. So maybe that's what you do for yourself. Or you can do a meditation, a guided meditation for 12 minutes on your own. You can go somewhere, just plug in your headphones somewhere in your house and listen to it. So you can create retreat space for yourself. But the topic that I wanted to talk about today was one of my favorite moments from the entire retreat. And that was when we danced. Yes, we danced. So I like to do dance breaks at retreats because we love dancing. We do. Our bodies love dancing. Even if we feel like we're really bad at it, our bodies like music and they like to move. So before the retreat, I had all of the women email me and I asked them what their favorite songs were, their favorite fun songs were. And I put them together on a playlist. They didn't know what I was doing with these songs. And in between sessions, we would have a little dance time. So when we started the retreat, when we ended the retreat, we had dance time. And it was so fun. So we had Firework by Katy Perry. We're dancing to that. We had Dancing in the Moonlight. We're dancing to that. My favorite one was that someone had talked about the song Locomotion. You remember that? Come on, baby, do the locomotion. Yes, I have a terrible voice, but never mind. And so we played that at the end, and we did a little bit of like Simon Says dancing, where one person would have to go in the middle and show everyone a move, and then we would all have to copy the move. And they were ridiculous, right? We were doing the grocery cart shopping move and the sprinkler and all those funny ones. And it was a blast. So why am I bringing up dancing? Why am I bringing up music? Well, I myself recently attended a retreat. It was at Omega Institute in upstate New York. I'll tell you all about it in a future episode. But it was wonderful to be a retreat student. Oftentimes I'm a retreat leader, which is my great, great joy. And it was also great to be a student. And we had dance breaks at that retreat too. And it was like, oh, this is what my retreat people feel like when they're dancing. I craved it. I found my body craving these dance breaks. And I realized how impactful the music and dancing was to my body, to my heart, to my creativity. And it made me feel lively. It made me feel in tune with myself. You know, so this podcast is all about tapping into healing, hope, and following your heart. And one of the ways of getting back in touch with our hearts is through music and is through dance. So I want to talk with you about this today and what this looks like in our lives, okay? And I'm going to kind of take you through my life through music and dance. When I was younger, I grew up on the south side of Chicago, and block parties were a big thing. In the summertime, blocks would get a permit to block off the entire street. And then inside, right, of that street, all of the houses would pitch in to do a bunch of different things. So there were potluck dinners, and there was bingo in the middle of the street, and usually there was music playing or a DJ. We would do water balloon toss. Just so much fun. Some of my favorite childhood memories were of block parties. And my one friend always had the best block parties, and we would go there every summer. And I have the fondest memories of it changing from daylight to nighttime. And it was in that like summer golden hour. The air was still warm, but now you had the nice evening breeze. And the DJ would start cranking out the dance music. And we would dance to things like, you know, I've Got Friends in Low Places. And it was just so fun to do that, to move my body as a little kid, like no inhibitions, just dance like crazy. I didn't yet care what people thought. I was just having so much fun. And we would do that sort of grapevine, the electric slide. Remember that? It's like country line dancing. And it was like to songs like Boot Scootin' Boogie. Oh my goodness. It was just so fun. And I bring this up because it was one of those times before the self-criticism kicked in. Every kid has that moment where they kind of switch and they realize that, oh, this isn't cool, or what will people think? And I didn't have that yet during the time of block parties. So I would just dance. And my cousins and I would always dance when we got together. I had a cousin who was 1 year older and a cousin who was 1 year younger. And we had a blast together. The three of us girls would sing to Shania Twain and we would just belt it out. And we would dance around, you know, our houses and sing into hairbrushes. And those sorts of moments were ones where I felt really free, really, really free. And this is the sort of vibe that I try to inhabit when I'm dancing. I love when I have these retreats and I ask women to let loose and dance a little bit. I offer them the option to close their eyes and just kind of dance in place. And that's what I myself have to do because then I don't care what other people are thinking because I'm not looking at them. And then I feel like if my eyes are closed, they're not looking at me. And it allows me to get back into my body and be free and tap into that part of myself that's like, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old who doesn't care what other people think. And that's when I feel authentic. When I was young, I actually asked my parents when I was in 8th grade if I could take ballet classes. Now, I was one of those kids who, when I was young, like 5, my mom had me in ballet and tap, but something happened to me when I was 13 where I just wanted to dance again. And, you know, it was those awkward years of puberty where I was like, what is my body doing? And I just felt so disconnected from that authentic center that I asked to be re-enrolled into ballet classes. And that's a weird age to get into ballet because it's like you either stay in ballet when you're 5 all the way up, and by the age of 13, you're like, you know, a semi-professional ballerina, or you just don't do it at all. But I just asked to be in a class when I was that age because something in me instinctively knew that I wanted to be connected to my body again. So as you're listening to this, I want you to think about those moments throughout your life where you felt this urge to move your body. You felt this urge to dance. You felt the urge to express yourself, maybe if not through dance, then through music. One of the fun things that might be an interesting reflection for you, either mentally or on the page, is to write down the soundtrack of your life. What were the songs that really spoke to you? What were the ones that kind of marked different moments in your life? And as soon as you write them down, you envision yourself at a certain place at a certain time, and it just captures the entire vibe, right? So when I went into high school, I joined the swim team. This was hilarious because, again, like, okay, who joins the swim team at age 14? Well, usually people who have been competitively swimming throughout junior high. Nope, not me. We had an above ground pool in my backyard that was like, I think 3.5 feet high, but like maybe, I don't know, 15 feet wide or something. Not much room for laps. But I'm like, I have swum. So therefore, I can be a competitive high school swimmer. Luckily, there were not tryouts at the place where I went to high school. So you could just join the team. Thank goodness. That first practice, I showed up in a Speedo, yes, but with no goggles and no swim cap. I don't know what I was thinking. And one of my favorite things, luckily the girls on the team were so nice, so nice. We would drive around before and after practice, like the older girls would drive the younger girls, because our high school didn't even have a swimming pool. We would have to go practice at the YMCA. So the older girls would drive the freshmen and sophomores back and forth to and from practice. And we would just listen to music and we would rock out and we would sing and we would dance parents in our seats, and, you know, we would listen to like Missy Elliott and Aaliyah, like, "Are You That Somebody?" If we were doing more chill music, we would listen to Dave Matthews Band. And that is like the soundtrack of my high school years. And I looked forward to high school dances. I know a lot of people did not. It can be such an awkward place. But even though I was sometimes a shy person, as soon as I got into a space where a bunch of people were dancing, I found that I could just let loose a little bit. And I just liked dancing with my girlfriends because, again, it was like this excuse to do something that my body wanted to do. And we would laugh and we would be self-conscious, but we would get over it. And then if we felt super self-conscious, then we would dance silly or dance funny on purpose. And I do think that there's something innately in us that knows that ever since humans existed, our ancestors have been having ritual, ceremonial dances. I feel like our bodies know that this is something instinctive, instinctual. It's something like a primal thing in us that we're used to, that our body secretly knows somewhere back in time that it used to do this as a means of celebrating, as a means of expressing grief, as a means of ritual, marking milestones. Our bodies know that this feels like something important. And then when I went to college and partied my little behind off. Thank God I'm not that same person anymore. But I do think that one of the funnest things that happened in college was just going to the bars with my girlfriends, not for the drinking part of it, but because of the dancing. Oh, those years, it was like Britney Spears was on fire and Toxic was like the big dance song. And we would just go nuts on the dance floor. And it was that thing again of bonding with other women, of being free and fun and laughing at ourselves. And I think, too, that one of the other things that we forget about is that music can help us get in touch with our creativity. So when I was not dancing in groups, well, I was listening to music while I wrote, while I journaled, before I even knew that my entire career would revolve around writing, I would journal and I would have on my headphones. Back in the day, it was like my tape deck Walkman. Then it was my CD player Walkman. And then it was, well, gosh, what after that? The iPod? Is that what they were called? It seems so long ago. My first like knockoff iPod weighed like 10 pounds. And oh my gosh. But over time, it's changed, but always the same. Music in my ears to get me into the mood for creativity. And it's a message to my brain that, okay, it's creative time now. So you might think about that also. Even if you're someone who likes to create in silence, are there songs that can be part of your warm-up where, okay, as you're transitioning into the creative space, you're going to listen to a particular song just to get your mind and your soul into that place, and then you can create. Or some people are like me. They like to listen to music throughout the entire creative process. And that is something to pay attention to maybe make a list for. So I would go to Argo Tea when I was in grad school, when I was living in my studio apartment in Lincoln Park, and I would just all day like listen to Feist in my headphones and just crank out words. And it felt so good to express myself, and music was the catalyst for that. The other thing that music helped me do was fall in love. Yes, yes, my friends. Remember the days of putting together a mixed tape for that crush of yours. Remember that? And then it was burning CDs for the person that you were crushing on. Well, Jamie and I fell deeply in love through the burnt CD situation. Since we are living so far apart, 800 miles apart, and seeing each other once every month or two, the way that we really fell in love with each other, besides talking on the phone a lot, there was no FaceTime back then, was, yes, writing emails, but then also burning CDs for each other, putting a bunch of songs that were meaningful to us, putting them on a CD and sending them to each other. And it was a way of getting to know each other deeply. It was a way of getting to discover, like, oh, that's who you are? That's what you like? And then there were the secret messages sent via song lyric. And I can remember that it was just so funny to me because Jamie, if he had his way in the car all the time with the radio, would just play 80s metal music all the time. My friends, this is like the exact opposite of what I would ever choose to listen to. And I would play girl power music all day long. And we do a little bit of each of those things, but we definitely connect and bond over country music and music that has really strong guitar, really good like playing of musical instruments. And we find that we like a lot of similar vibing music. So back in the day, it was like Dierks Bentley songs we really liked. And Jamie would introduce me to oldies but goodies, not introduce me, but remind me of oldies but goodies, like Into the Mystic. And I mean, we had such a wide array of songs that we would put on each other's playlists, and it spanned everything, yeah, from country to the Eagles to, I mean, Mariah Carey, I think, was on one of them. And we would just go back and forth. John Mayer, the John Butler Band, John Butler Trio. That was huge for us. That was a band that meant a lot to us. And we would just kind of vibe out on those tunes and fall deeply in love with each other. And then when we were in person, we would get to go to concerts. Remember those? They're coming back, thank goodness. And we did a ton of Zac Brown Band and Kings of Leon, Brothers Osborne. And it just felt good to be in a space and feel the vibration of the music through your body. And Jamie is the kind of person that at a concert does not move. You guys, he does not move his entire body. He just stands there. Meanwhile, I'm like, just moving around, but he feels it. He feels it. And he smiles. He likes, you know, seeing me do my thing and get really into it. But he just likes feeling the vibration through his body and watching the musicians. He's a drummer, Jamie is. And so he loves watching and seeing what's going on. I only hear like 25% of the actual musical instrument play that's happening. I don't have the musical ear that he does. He'll be like, oh, do you hear what the drummer is doing? Do you hear what the guitarist is doing? And I often do not until he points it out. Just this past summer, a couple of months ago for my birthday, we went to go see John Legend at Ravinia. And Ravinia, if you're unfamiliar, is an outdoor concert venue in Highland Park, Illinois. And oh, it's just grounds and grounds of grass and trees and twinkle lights, and people show up super early to set up their whole area. You bring chairs and tables and wine and cheese. I mean, people come prepared. They come with candelabras and tablecloths and bring decks of cards to play while you wait. It's an experience. And we brought Gio. We wanted to show Gio. Gio had been taking piano lessons last year and the year before. Some of them had to be virtual, but he was taking piano and we wanted to really introduce him to really good music. So we took him to see John Legend, who was great. He talked, he told stories. I love the stories behind the music. That's another thing too, to pay attention to. It's like, if there's a band that you love, what is the story behind the lyrics? What inspired that song? I love that. I love this sort of behind the music stuff that shows you what were the things that inspired the music that you're hearing. And it did not disappoint. So music has a way of letting other people get to know you and you getting to know other people. It's a way of bonding with friends or partners. And in our household, music is played every night as Jamie is prepping dinner. Usually at that time, we're all kind of winding down from the day. So I'll be straightening up. Jamie's prepping dinner. Gio's finishing up in his playroom. And just hearing the music start to play, it's like it tells our brain, okay, we're starting to go into downtime here. We're going to have family time. And it puts our minds in that wonderful place. I love hearing a home filled with music. And I didn't grow up in like a musical household. And so being able to just always hear music playing in the ambiance, you know, the food cooking, the music playing, it does a lot for the soul. So it can feel very comforting too. So if your go-to is not always to turn on tunes, if you're like me and you kind of forget, like, oh yeah, maybe while I'm a big baker, I love baking. Gio and I bake a lot. So it's like I have to remind myself, oh yeah, while I'm baking, I can put on some fun music. And that gets us into holidays. It gets us into that place of celebration. So during the month of October, as we prepped for Halloween, you know, when we were baking one time, I put on Halloween tunes and it was just getting us in the mood, in this spirit of this season. And it prolongs it. It takes one day and lets that one day be a whole month of celebration, you know, kind of like Christmas tunes. Now, I'm not ready for Christmas tunes in October, everyone. Like, I'm just not. I'm not that person, but maybe a couple weeks beforehand. And weddings, dancing at weddings, dancing with groups of people. Do you know what happened at our wedding? So Jamie is not a dancer, as I told you. He's the one that doesn't move at concerts. And when we go to weddings, like, he will do some slow song dancing with me, but that's about it. He's usually sitting it out during the fast songs. So at our wedding, I'm not expecting much. Like, I knew we were going to have our dance together and whatnot, but I thought I would be the one doing a lot of dancing. So it comes time for the mother-son dance. And Jamie and his mom come out onto the dance floor and they strike a pose. And I was like, what's happening? And I think it was Love Me Like a Rock, Paul Simon. I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure. And they start doing a little synchronized, choreographed bit of dancing. They had taken lessons, you guys. For weeks, I didn't know, leading up to the wedding, they had taken dance lessons. And here comes my secret John Travolta out on the dance floor and just moving around. And I had been wondering what was going on because during our song, during our first dance, I could tell Jamie was like super nervous and I didn't know why. And he was making like this awkward small talk. He was like, nice weather we're having today. And I was like, yes, new husband. Why are you being so awkward? Well, now I know he was terrified because his mother-son dance was coming up and he was sweating it. So it can make people laugh. It can be a really important thing. I cherish that I got to have a dance with my father. To U2, When the Stars Go Blue, it's like a remix. And now I listen to that song and it has deep meaning for me. So music and dance can be meaningful. It could be a long-lasting memory. It could be a thing that makes other people smile too and even laugh, right? And as of late, this past year, I have been using a lot of dance to just express my feelings. So I know this sounds very woo-woo, but a while back, Elizabeth Gilbert was talking about how she dealt with the passing of her beloved partner, Rhea, through dance. So the way that she was grieving and processing the grief was through dance. She would just put on music in the mornings and she would just see what her body wanted to do. And this was a way of working the emotion through her body. And she found that it was really, really helpful. And she did it day in and day out. So last year, when we were on lockdown, and, you know, if you were living in Illinois and it's the winter time and you're on lockdown and everything's closed and there's nowhere to go and it's freezing outside, like I felt like a caged animal. I needed to move my body. And so I would go into my home office. I would lock the door so that Gio wasn't like, why is mom weird? I would put on my headphones. And I remember this one night in particular, I was just feeling it. I was just feeling all of the loss and the grief from the pandemic and the trapped feeling. And it was, you know, dark at 5 o'clock because it was winter time and it was freezing. And so I just felt stuck. And I put on Johnny Swim, one of their albums. And you guys, I just danced. I danced it out. And I tried to force myself to do moves that were instinctive, like not choreographed moves, not moves that would look good on the dance floor. But like, I kept on asking myself every 10 seconds, what does my body want to do? What does my body want to do? What does my body want to do? What do my arms want to do right now? What do my legs want to do right now? What does my core want to do right now? How does my head want to move? And I did a lot of this with my eyes closed, because again, even in my own room, in my own house, with the door locked and the shades drawn, I felt self-conscious. So I just had to close my eyes and I did some weird moves. I mean, I was like shaking it out like a dog might shake it out. I was like crouching down low, jumping up high. I was, you know, moving my torso in ways I wouldn't usually move. I just needed my body to do whatever it needed to do to work through the emotion. And it did. I felt great. 35 minutes later, I came out of that office like a new person. So can you use music as a form of healing, as a form of emotional expression? Can you ask your body, what do I want to do right now? What do you want to do right now? How do you want to move? What do you want to do with your legs? What do you want to do with your arms? And just let your own body guide you. Like, let the rhythm of the music guide you. And it's a fun thing to sit for 5 minutes and put together a playlist on Spotify or whatever you use and just go, okay, what would be a good song to kind of, you know, get this out? Like, I did a bunch of really fast-paced songs for that particular session because I wanted to move my body. I wanted to get it out. I wanted to get my heart pumping. I wanted to feel alive. I wanted to express myself. But then other times I choose mellow songs. So for a year and a half now, online, I've been leading like joy journaling sessions, especially in the early stages of the pandemic. I was leading them like almost every Sunday, where people would just join the class. I would give prompts and I would play a song for each of the prompts to get us in the spirit, to get us into the mood and the vibe. And I loved that. I loved choosing the songs that would go with the prompts and kind of really evoke whatever emotion we were trying to get into. and even very joyous songs. So it was called Joy Journaling, especially needed during the pandemic. It's like, okay, let's journal in a way that elicits joy, which is not something we were feeling much of. So can you put together a playlist that can really do a lot for you, that can help you express emotions, help you express whatever your body wants to express, help you get in the mood or spirit or vibe of whatever you're trying to do? And then lastly, can you send a song to someone, right? Can you share a song through Spotify or Pandora or whatever you use these days? So during, again, the pandemic, when Jamie was going through a particularly hard time, I put together a playlist and I just texted it over to him. Yes, we were in the same house, but it was just like, I wanted to have a nice little surprise show up in his text. And I was just like, hey, made a playlist for you. And there were all these songs that were just talking about getting through hard times. And it worked. Like, it did a lot. I could see the smile on his face when I came downstairs and saw him listening. And he gave me a big hug and he was like, thanks, Nader. Thanks. I needed that. So what are the messages you can send to someone through a playlist today or through just a song that you share today? What can you do? So your homework is to dance. Now, I wanted to let you know that as I've been talking about these retreats and the fun things that we do at them, that we are going to have a little holiday sale and discount for my retreat offerings and some other offerings as well. So I'll be putting out a holiday guide that will kind of lead you through the holiday sale that we're going to be having for Cyber Monday and whatnot. But it'll come out a little bit earlier than that, but only the people who are on my email list will be the first to know. So you'll want to make sure to go over to NadineKennyJohnstone.com, and there's a place to enter your email address so that you can get on my newsletter list, my love letter list, and you'll know all about the holiday guide. I send out emails only about like twice a month, sometimes three times a month. I promise I do not inundate. So go ahead and get on that email list if you're interested in getting the best discounts that we'll see all year. Thank you, everyone, for sharing your time with me, your ears with me. I wanted to share someone who's had a recent success. So Jasmine Aluma was in my Publish the Personal class, and she submitted a story to the Boston Globe Connections, and it was accepted, and it was just published a few days ago. And so you should check out her beautiful writing. I'm so proud of her. In that class, we've had so much success. I'm getting emails from other people who have pieces that just got accepted that will be coming out in another month and two. So, I'm so proud of the writers in there. I'll make sure to put Jasmine's piece in the show notes so that you can check it out. Thanks, as always, to my dear friend, Michelle Rado. Favorite musical bit about her: she and her husband Phil are very musically inclined, as you are not surprised, I'm sure. She does all the musical scoring for the show. When we went there this summer, Jamie and Gio and I got to go into Phil's music room and have an entire jam session, and it was so fun. Oh my gosh, Michelle, I wonder if you could play a tiny clip of it. So thank you, Michelle and Phil, for letting us rock out with you over the summer in Maine. It was a highlight. And remember, every heart has a story, and every story has a heart. See you next week.